All right, welcome back to the listener's commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. Before we jump into the material on this recording, just want to remind you about the Bible in Life ebook, free ebook available on the listener's commentary website, listenerscommentary.com. It's a book that is intended to guide you in your own study of and application of the Bible to your life. So it gives you five practices for hearing the Bible well, studying it well, and five practices for heeding it or applying it to your life. That's totally free. Just got to put your name and email address in there on the website, and you'll have access to that ebook right away. So it's called Bible in Life, and it's right there at listenerscommentary.com. All right, in this recording, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 34. And we're in the middle of this fourth large teaching block in the Gospel of Matthew. We've mentioned several times how Matthew intentionally has structured his presentation of the life of Jesus by having snapshots from his life, but then punctuated with large specific teaching blocks that seem to revolve around a central theme. This teaching block in Matthew chapter 18 revolves around the idea of relationships in the kingdom of heaven. Part one ended, the first half of that teaching block ended with a discussion of dealing with a sinning brother. And we made sure to emphasize in that teaching that the goal of dealing with a sinning brother was to draw them back to the center of the community, restoration, restoring them to community life. Well, we now, in this second half of the teaching block, follow that up with a related question, and that question is the nature of forgiveness. What do we do for a brother who sins against us? And Jesus tells us that we forgive graciously, generously, extravagantly. And so as we walk through this second half of this teaching block, we learn a lot about the nature of forgiveness. And that teaching begins with a question from the Apostle Peter. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 18. It says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I still forgive him? Up to seven times?' And it's likely that Peter thinks he's being generous. Like, seven times, that's quite a bit. And so how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times. And Peter seems to think that this is a large and generous amount. But here's how Jesus responds. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. Jesus says 77 times. And it's not just like that's a flat number. Here's what I mean by that. Because of the 7 days of creation, the number seven in Jewish thinking tended to have this idea, this value of completion or fullness. So 77 communicates like almost an unlimited amount. It's like seven and seven, right? Like we're talking a lot, like almost an unlimited amount. Not only that, some scholars also see an allusion to Genesis 4:24 here that marks a key reversal in the kingdom of heaven. In Genesis 4:24, it says this, "If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech is avenged 77 times." It's not totally clear to me that Jesus is echoing this, but a lot of scholars do see that. And if that's the case, then Jesus is echoing this story to reverse it. What he's saying is, in his kingdom, vengeance now gives way to forgiveness. So that whereas you have this vengeance 77 times for Lamech, well, you get forgiveness 77 times in the kingdom of heaven. The point of Jesus' words then to back to Peter is, seven times is not nearly enough. If you're going to be a part of my kingdom, then you've got to practice almost unlimited, extravagant, generous forgiveness where you just learn to let things go. Well, the question then becomes, what does that look like and what does forgiveness mean? And Jesus is going to tell a parable to help flesh out the nature of forgiveness and the importance of it in our relationship to God. So we continue in verse 23 where Jesus says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like." We've seen this formula before as a way for Jesus to regularly set up a parable. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to tell a parable about forgiveness. And he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And that indicates that this story will show a key value or a key operating principle of the kingdom of heaven. And that lets us know that in Jesus' kingdom, forgiveness is not an optional extra. Forgiveness is actually a key value and a distinguishing mark of those who have entered into Jesus' kingdom. In the kingdom, we are people who practice forgiveness freely and widely. So here's the parable Jesus tells. Here's what forgiveness looks like for us in Jesus' kingdom. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants or his slaves. Now remember, this is a parable to help us see some things about forgiveness. And Jesus takes this very real and personal topic of forgiveness and compares it to something that anyone could relate to. So you have a king, that is an authority figure. You have a servant, somebody under the authority figure. And then you have money and debts. The story continues in verse 24. And when he had begun, that is when the king had begun to settle them, settle the accounts, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, Jesus is telling a story, and so in doing so, he tells it in dramatic fashion. This is an unimaginable debt, right? That's the idea. 10,000 talents is an unimaginable debt. The first thing that reminds us is that sinning against someone, being wronged, right, that causes a debt. And Jesus speaks of it in almost a laughably high amount of money. One talent, we use that word talent to refer to a special ability. This refers to a unit of money. And one talent referred to a bag of gold coins worth approximately 6,000 denarii. Well, 6,000 denarii is roughly about 20 years' wages. So 10,000 talents is about 200,000 years of wages for the average laborer. It's a ridiculous amount of money. It would be like us telling a story, and because we're trying to make a point, we would say this person owed $200 trillion or something like that. It's a ridiculously high amount. There's no way he could really pay this back. So the story continues in verse 25 by saying, but since he did not have the means to repay, there's the understatement of the century, right? He clearly didn't have the means to repay this ridiculous high amount. So since he didn't have the means to repay, his master commanded that he be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had and repayment be made. He's going to sell off the servant and at least recoup some of his losses for this servant. Now, again, remember, Jesus is telling this story to help us understand some things about forgiveness. Here we see the opposite of forgiveness, and that is making someone pay. The master is going to make this man pay, and he's going to do so by selling him off. Well, the story continues in verse 26. So the slave, because he can't pay this back, the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before the king, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. This guy is not even being realistic, right? There's no way he could pay this back, but he's desperate. And so he's begging for, just give me some more time and I will repay you everything. Well, verse 27, the master of that slave felt compassion and he released him and forgave him the debt. In other words, he canceled the debt. He decided not to make him pay. And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is choosing to forgive a debt. He no longer owes me. He no longer has to pay me back. That's the nature of forgiveness that we see from this story. But the story isn't over. It continues. So look what happens in verse 28. But that slave, the one who had just been forgiven this ridiculously high amount of money, that slave went out and found one of his fellow servants. So he's sort of like a middle servant, right? He's a middle servant. He's got servants under him that work for him. So this servant went out, found one of his fellow slaves or servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now let's pause right there and think about that amount. It's still a decent amount. 100 denarii is about 30% of a year's wages. So maybe $15,000 to $20,000 in contemporary wages, maybe a little bit more, give or take, right? Somewhere in there. It's about a third of a year's worth of wages. But that's way less than 10,000 talents. A decent amount, but way less than what this slave had just been forgiven. And here's what he did. He seized his fellow servant and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. He's going to make him pay. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience on me, and I will repay what I owe you. But, verse 30, he was unwilling. He was unwilling to have patience. He was unwilling to forgive that man's debt. And he threw him in prison until he would pay back what was owed. So here's this servant. He has been forgiven 10,000 talents of debt. And he has a fellow servant who owes him a mere 100 denarii, a decent amount, but nothing like he was forgiven. And he shows him zero mercy. He cannot even forgive that debt. So verse 31, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. And they came and reported to their master all that had happened. They ratted him out. They told him, look, you forgave this guy all that money. He's got a servant who owed him way less. He won't even forgive him. So the master then summoned this man to him and said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Again, this helps us understand some things about the nature of forgiveness. That in Jesus' mind, mercy must beget mercy. Forgiveness should lead to forgiveness. And when it doesn't, something is wrong. And that's what's going on here in this story. The king believes that if you've received mercy, then you should become a merciful person. And he's calling the servant out for failing to do that. And here's what happens. Verse 34, and his master, moved now, not with compassion or mercy, but moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he would repay all that he was owed. And Jesus makes this point in verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. That's how strongly Jesus and God the Father expect forgiveness to mark the people that are a part of their kingdom. A core value, a chief operating principle, a distinguishing mark of Jesus' kingdom is forgiveness. And our merciful Father expects his children to share his mercy liberally and frequently and generously. That's what he expects. Our heart is to be so changed by his mercy towards us that we become merciful in return. So, what do we learn about forgiveness from this well-known parable of the talents? And we need to remember that when we say parable of the talents, we mean talents as a unit of money, not as in special abilities. And so what do we learn about forgiveness from this? Well, let me just offer a couple reflections. The first is that in Jesus' kingdom, we are to be a people known for forgiving. People ought to think of Jesus' people, that is the church, as, man, they're a people who forgive. That should be one of the things that mark us out and distinguish us from others. They're a people who forgive. It's meant to be one of the most distinctive features of the kingdom of heaven and thus of us. And I think at one level, we like that. But here's the thing. C.S. Lewis famously once said, we all think forgiveness is a lovely idea until we have something or someone to forgive, right? Forgiveness is so wonderful. It's so nice. It's so good. Until somebody wrongs us, and now we have something to forgive. And so it's not easy. It can be really challenging. And yet, if our Heavenly Father forgave us a laughable and unrepayable debt, doesn't it only seem sensible for us to forgive the lesser debts of those who have defrauded or wronged us? And yes, it does. That's one of the points of this parable. And so we need to continually practice forgiveness. Practice it to get good at it. Practice it so that it becomes a distinguishing mark of us as Jesus' people. We are a people known for forgiving. Another thing we learn about forgiveness here, if we're supposed to be a people who regularly forgive, what's the essence of it? And we see that very clearly here in this story. This story helps us realize that forgiveness is fundamentally a decision to cancel a debt. That's what it is. It's not a feeling. It's not an attitude. It's a decision specifically to cancel a debt, to not make somebody pay. That's the essence of forgiveness. That's what God did for us. He decided to cancel our debt, and in order to do that, he sent his son to die on the cross in our place. And so there is this moment where we have to make a crisis of choice. We may have to remind ourselves that we made that decision multiple times, right? When the feelings start creeping back in, resentment starts building again, we have to remember, no, we burned the bill for that debt. If they are off the hook for it. That's the nature of forgiveness. And that means, in some regards, we're going to have to absorb the cost ourselves. That's what God did for us. He absorbed the cost himself. And if we choose not to make somebody pay, that doesn't mean that there was never a debt, and we need to make sure we don't pretend like it's a small thing or it didn't matter or there was never a debt. There really was a debt, but we chose not to make them pay. That's the essence of forgiveness. And so we let them off our hook, and we can leave them on God's. God can sort it all out. God can be the great king, as in this parable, who he can take care of it. If somebody has a real beef and it's never been really taken care of, he can take care of it. We let them off our hook, and we entrust them to God and to his wisdom, to his justice, as well as to his mercy. And so that gives us the freedom to say, you know what? I'm not going to make you pay. I'll let God sort that out with you, but I am going to choose to forgive this debt. All right, thanks for tuning into this session on the Listener's Commentary on the New Testament. The Listener's Commentary is a listener-supported, crowd-funded Bible teaching ministry that's made possible by the generosity of people just like you. So thanks a ton to each and every one of you who donate generously to this ministry. And if you have been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider joining the team of supporters? You can go to listenerscommentary.com. You can click the Give button. It'll redirect you to a page, my page, through World Family Mission, a registered nonprofit where you can set up a one-time or a recurring monthly donation. Just put in a dollar amount, click that little box that says make this monthly if you want to make it monthly, and all those funds will come my way as a way to support this ministry. So thanks a ton for your support.